It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our weekly interview, I also spoke to ex-Simon Court about his party's stance on our government's response to the mass death of Ukrainian and Palestinian civilians and how the government has responded to these events here in Aotearoa. We started off the interview acknowledging the passing of Fa'anana Afeso Collins.
First of all, I wanted to acknowledge that last week we saw Afeso Collins tragically passed away. What is your message on behalf of your party in regards to this?
Well, we will have an opportunity to express our condolences about the loss of Afeso Collins in Parliament. The Speaker has said he will make time for that. Personally, I really liked Afeso. I'd only just got to know him. We shared a background of both working in local government, and just a few weeks ago we attended an event and then decided that we had so much we wanted to keep talking about, we'd share a taxi back to Parliament. He was somebody who was going to bring his own personal experiences from his community, his time in local government, and his passion for people having better lives, and I'm really sorry that he won't get to fulfil that mission, but also very sad for his family and friends who will be missing a dad, a husband, and we wish them all the best.
To move on to last week, the government announced new support for Ukraine. Can you tell our listeners about this?
Well, New Zealand benefits from what we call a rules-based international order. In short, you don't get to invade a sovereign democratic neighbour, no matter how big and tough you think you are or you know what your excuses might be going back in history. ACT is proud to be part of a government that stands with the people of Ukraine against the belligerence of a larger, authoritarian, dictatorial neighbour. And the extension of the Defence Force deployment is an expression of good faith in the hard-working Kiwis who are currently training Ukrainian soldiers and providing those logistics and intelligence support, which is something New Zealand does really well. Now, in addition to that, last week, David Seymour and Brooke Van Velden hosted a fundraising effort, a private fundraising effort, something they've done every year since Russia invaded Ukraine around the anniversary of that awful day. And they raised money to help fund equipment such as drones for the Ukrainian Defence Force, which are things that, you know, no matter how much money and equipment other countries are giving, the Ukrainian people will tell you every little bit counts. So the stuff the government's doing and then the stuff that the ACT Party are doing as individuals to try to help as well.
We've seen that Russia's invasion of Ukraine has not only had a significant human cost but has also impacted regional and global stability. What are your concerns moving forward? What would you like to see happen in regards to the government's next steps to address this?
Well, you're absolutely right. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which was well signalled with a massive military build-up and repeated threats going back some years. In fact, going back to 2014 when they invaded Crimea and took over some parts of Luhansk and Donetsk province in the eastern part of Ukraine. What it's done is destabilised the sense that our collective security based on agreements, you know, like the ASEAN agreement, Southeast Asian nations or NATO, is enough, that the deterrence is enough to deter bad actors. And so I think that's cause now for New Zealand, like its defence partners, UK, USA, Canada and Australia, to think about what do we need to invest in so that we have a credible defence force that is a deterrent against bad actors in our region as well as in other parts of the world, and makes countries that think twice before they invade a neighbour or do something that interferes with international shipping lanes, for example, or threatens a minority group in their country. So I think much has changed and there is much for New Zealand to consider. The ACT campaigned on a policy to increase GDP or defence spending as a proportion of GDP to 2%, which is the NATO standard. Many NATO countries are struggling to achieve that, and New Zealand will as well. But we would certainly be advocating for our defence forces to be made robust, resilient, have excellent training, have good accommodation for the personnel where they're housed around the country, and that our equipment is fit for purpose.
Another international event that we've seen have a significant human cost as well as a global impact is Israel's aggressive action in Gaza. And we've seen last week that the Prime Ministers of New Zealand, Australia and Canada issued a joint statement urging Israel against a military operation in Rafah. What is your position on this?
Well, New Zealand, like Australia and Canada, has grave concerns about the possibility of military assaults on Rafah. There's 1.5 million civilians taking refuge in that area. Israel has said it's going to happen, but there are steps that Hamas, the combatants who took over 200 Israelis hostage and killed essentially 1,500. The steps that Hamas can take to prevent it. They need to release the hostages they took on October 7, and there needs to be a genuine and enduring ceasefire. But that can't be a one-sided ceasefire. Hamas has to lay down its arms and release the hostages. Ultimately, a negotiated political solution is needed to achieve lasting peace and security. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, we remain steadfast in our commitment to a two-state solution, including in the long term, the creation of a Palestinian state alongside Israel, where Palestinians and Israelis get to live side by side in peace, security and dignity. But in order for that to happen, Hamas, a terrorist entity which intends to destroy Israel and eliminate the Jewish people from that country, they must lay down their arms, they must surrender or be defeated, and the hostages must be freed.
Hamas has offered a ceasefire which would see a captive swap between Israel and Palestine, which would allow Israeli hostages to be freed as well as those Palestinians that are being held captive in Israel to be released also. Is this something that ACT would support?
Look, this is a terrible dilemma for the Israeli government and the Israeli people. The hostages are innocent. They were captured at gunpoint, dragged, some of them half naked, having been abused into Gaza by Hamas. The people that Hamas insists are released, hundreds and hundreds of them are terrorists who have killed often multiple people. And it would be a big challenge for any country to say, hey, yeah, we don't mind releasing all of these terrorists, people convicted of heinous crimes, just to get our innocent hostages back. So look, this is a dilemma for the Israeli people and the Israeli government. We need to support the Israeli government to get its people back. We also need to be using whatever influence we can to seek a long-lasting and enduring peace between Israel and the Palestinian people.
The death toll in Gaza is approaching 30,000. That's a significant human cost that we can't ignore. Are you confident that our government has done enough to stand for the people of Palestine as it has for the people of Ukraine?
Well, it's awful when people are caught up in a conflict that they didn't choose to be a part of. That responsibility for the deaths in Gaza lies squarely with Hamas. If you think about other sovereign nations like Israel, like Ukraine, they have no choice but to defend themselves from the type of aggression we've seen coming from Russia or coming from Hamas, that Palestinian faction that runs Gaza. So it's awful that civilians are caught in the crossfire. My expectation, the expectation of the New Zealand government and the expectation of the International Criminal Court, is that Israel takes all measures to avoid any incidents which could be considered a violation of the international laws of war, and that civilians are protected as far as practical. But we also must be aware that Hamas and other terrorist entities are hiding inside civilian population centres, under hospitals, under UN schools, and essentially using the entire population of Gaza as a human shield. That in itself is a war crime. So I think the New Zealand government should be advocating for a peaceful resolution as soon as possible, and that must include for the release of the hostages as soon as possible. And that's really the key to an enduring ceasefire.
I just want to clarify, so do you see Israel as not holding any responsibility for the deaths of Palestinians and the conditions that Palestinian civilians have been in, and you don't believe they have committed any war crimes, which the International Court of Justice has suggested that it is likely that Israel has?
That's not what I said at all. What I said, and I'm happy to repeat it, is that Israel must make sure that they follow the international laws and conventions of conducting war to minimise civilian casualties. Civilians are casualties in Gaza. That is as a result of war. That war was started by Hamas, and Israel have said they're going to finish it one way or another. That's awful for the Palestinian civilians caught in the crossfire. And you're absolutely right. Thousands and thousands have been injured. If it was avoidable, I'm confident that the Israeli Defence Force would have avoided it. Unfortunately, civilian casualties are a result of armed conflict, and the responsibility for starting that armed conflict lies with Hamas, and also the responsibility for ending it if they put down their arms, release the hostages, and seek an enduring peace.
That was ex-Simon Court on their stance on what's happening in both Ukraine and in Gaza.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.